I recently started taking Morning Kick, used and created by former karate champion Chuck Norris. Guys, I've never felt better. By the way, have you seen Chuck lately? It's like he's aging backwards. This guy is still throwing kicks. He's full of energy, and he's in his 80s. This is why I jumped at the shot of taking his revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions. This drink combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other greens out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, and it has hundreds of five-star reviews. And by the way, I never tell you something tastes a certain way if it doesn't. It tastes just like strawberry lemonade. Since I started drinking Morning Kick, my digestion is smoother. My body looks leaner. I have energy all day. I just feel sharp. I want you to go to roundhouseprovisions.com/chael. Now, that's going to save you up to 44% off the regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost in energy, and just an overall healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/chael today. After years of fine print contract and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if I have learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. Guys, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They don't have retail stores or salespeople. Instead, they deliver premium phone plans directly to you. I honestly thought the plans and pricing were too good to be true. I'm thankful I was wrong. The coverage and reliability with Mint Mobile has been superb. Say bye-bye to overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/chael. That's mintmobile.com/chael. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/chael. $45 up front. Payment required equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. What's happening, guys? Happy Friday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. Guys, I'm rushing through town. I got passports to get to for my kids. I got an airplane to catch to get to Sao Paulo to beat Anderson for a record third time. But before we do any of that, let's talk a little MMA and let's begin with Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler, and the smart marks on the internet. So, apparently, and it's something to this vein, but there became what calls trolls, and it's very big. Like, the internet is a very big deal in our industry. If you can create a rumor or some level of speculation on the internet, you really couldn't go to a better place for our industry. And there's actually a historical reason for that, where we our lifeblood was the dot-coms. But I share with you because some kids did a level of research and ESPN took down the advertisements for 303. And when I was getting these messages, I finally pushed back. How would you know? That becomes my question. How would you know? I mean, listen to what you're saying. Saying ESPN took down the advertisements. How would you know? Like, are you sitting there watching ESPN and you haven't seen it in a while? Because that's not evidence. Or did you Did you see 303, but you didn't see Connor's face? Just for example. And so what I would have to correct them one by one by one is, hey guys, 303 is happening. Oh, I know it's happening. Well, okay, but you just said they took down the advertisements. Why would you take down an advertisement if the event is still happening? Like, I mean, do you see the problem with your own theory? Then some smart marks went to the YouTube and Conor McGregor's free fight was taken down. I believe it was opposite Nate Diaz. It had been removed. And because that fight had been removed, Conor will not be fighting Michael Chandler on June 29th. I don't have the foggiest idea how you marry those two ideas together. I'm just sharing with you. It was so big that companies had to come out with a press release to deal with the trolls, to let them know everything is as scheduled. And all we have is clues. And you get to hedge your bet based on the clues. But I do enjoy hearing from people, right? I mean, this is either going to happen or it's not. It's yes or it's no. And there are so many things in life that get so complicated, right? Like, I've met people and they sell books and they put on the nice suit and they speak to class and they're going to tell you about the stock market and what you should look for. It's like, I appreciate that stuff. And I'm not even saying that you're wrong from a fundamental standpoint, but the stock can either go up or it goes down. You can go get your degree on that and you can write 1,000-page books. You can do all of those things, but it either goes up or it goes down. So with a random guess and no education, you have a 50% chance of being right. I mean, do you understand? It's one of these things because the Conor situation is oddly unique. I was told by a trusted industry source that the press conference was canceled because the canceling of a press conference created more press than the conference. And I was terribly annoyed when I'm on the phone and I'm having to hear that. The indication there being like a theory, a conspiracy that was launched and put ahead. And it was just weird. It really was a weird thing to hear. And it doesn't make it inaccurate. Nick Diaz, not showing up for his press conference with George St. Pierre, did more press than had he shown up. I understand that. But I am still stuck in dwelling on this because the question is no longer the press conference. The question is the fight and how behaviors at the press conference, including a cancellation or postponement, affect or indicate whether or not the fight will happen. I'm just not sure how we're marrying those ideas. I mean, by example, we found out about the press conference 1 week ago. We didn't have a press conference. We found out through an announcement 1 week ago. Now, we did have the fight. We did have an agreement. We did have a venue. We had tickets on sale. We had card placement. We had a weight class. We had the two athletes. So we then announced a press conference, of which doesn't happen. So we come out the other side of that questioning the fight. Every single fight on that card and every single fight that's booked anywhere in the world has the same probability of happening or not, because those are the only two options. Where I get confused as an objective thinker is how uniquely this fight has got tied into a press conference. Well, Chael, if you're cancel press conference, you're not going to do the fight. Well, we didn't have the press conference. That's the difference. Most cards, when we have them, including 304, 305, 307, they're far in advance. The press conference, the specific dates, who's going to be invited, everything is already done. I understand those things. This was oddly unique in that it wasn't scheduled. It wasn't planned. There was already a record box office. Like, this was a real treat. But it didn't have anything to do with the fight. I mean, up until 1 week ago when it was announced, we still had the fight. So coming out the back end, we're in the same exact position with this fight as we were 1 week ago prior to the announcement. Now, I don't want to just go in circles here. I want to discuss that because it's our biggest clue. And now you're hearing speculation of Conor being hurt. And Conor put out a tweet and it had an image. Put out something, Instagram. whatever the social media platform, but the story is the picture of which is a medical facility. I saw some people re-report it and call it a doctor's office, and some people called it a hospital. And in fairness, I never saw the picture myself, but it doesn't really make a bit of difference. That backdrop is there to tell you a story of which Connor's words did not. Connor did not say, I'm at the doctor's, I'm working through some stuff. Obviously, this is why I canceled the press conference. I'm dealing with some personal, some medical. He didn't, none of that was done, but it was designed to make you come to a conclusion thereabouts. And there is now talk of a backup fighter for that contest. That part to me was a little bit surprising. I just assumed there'd be one. And for a lot of our really big fights, we're bringing in backup fighters, but we, the audience, most times don't know. It's very rare that we do know who that person is. Give you a great example, but Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington, part two, at the Mecca, Madison Square Garden, killer event, absolutely sold out. Vincent Luque came through the curtain and weighed in the prior day. And when he came through the curtain, is the first we ever knew that Luque was the backup for that fighter. I mean, they kept that secret. None of his teammates, none of his training partners, none of his coach, nobody knew that behind the scenes, he had a deal worked out. He was getting a financial participation. He had to get his licensing and everything set in New York. And that's just very common, is my point. When we do these things, we're generally not told who the backup is. But a lot of times there is one. And in this case, it has been revealed to us that there was not one. So as you scramble and as you look, you have a very different answer. Like Connor versus anyone, of course, works. Connor not being part of the card is going to change things drastically. And that's where the backup fighter, when you have advanced notice, such as we would now, that's where the backup fighter doesn't have to be the same fighter. And we've seen this tested as well. Sergey Pavlich was the backup should anything happen to Jones and or Stipe. But because it happened early enough, not at the weigh-in where somebody missed weight or something happened, because it happened earlier, we brought in Tom Aspinall. We left Stipe out of the equation completely. So we had a backup fighter that fought, but he not in a backup position. So some of these things can be very interesting and they can be very complicated. I am never going to get off, and I'm going to stay on one question, because I do believe it's going to be Connor versus Chandler. I don't believe ESPN stopped advertising. I don't believe the fights were taken off YouTube in conjunction with this. I don't believe the press conference and Connor's participation in the fight are married and or are together. But I will admit, the one thing I can't answer is why cancel the press conference? And when I've asked that question very simply, including to insider, they will go down a path of Connor. Well, you know, we don't know yet. We don't know if he's hurt or sick or a family matter. Some people are speculating a funeral, like all they say, no, stop. You're combining. I'm asking why cancel the press conference. I'm not asking if Connor was going to be there or not. There's been cards where the main fighter doesn't show up. There's been press conferences where the main guy doesn't show up. They haven't been canceled. It's a simple question by me. It's not meant to be a trick. I don't have that answer. I like to learn things. If I could learn anything about this, I would want to know why cancel the press conference. There's Zoom, there's Skype, there's a statement, there's disappointment, there's a stage, there's the boss, the biggest star in the entire sport, and there's Michael Chandler, who's the first guy ever that was going to show up and attempt to go toe-to-toe with McGregor. Even if he left with a bruised ego and feeling embarrassed, he was going to take that risk. And we had all of those pieces in place. Why cancel the press conference? Do you think Conor McGregor ever planned to fight? Think he ever planned to fight Michael Chandler? Now, I have made good with Vitor Belfort. By the way, like if you follow my career and you've seen some guys I've given bumps to, somewhere along the way, Vitor got in that mix, which is not my current situation, in fairness, but I have accused Vitor of this. And the only difference would be, what did he know and when did he know it, right? Like what I'm accusing of is exactly the actions that took place. But the violation would only be if he knew that ahead of time. And there's a number of things like that in life, and therein lies the complication, right? Like, this girl can kiss that guy. That isn't a problem. That's not until you had the conversation with her where she's your girl, right? She kissed him a week before that conversation. It's very different. And the reason I'm telling you that, Vitor was a master. He would take a fight. Now, I'm claiming, my claim is that he knew he was never going to do. In fairness, I don't actually know these things. But this is what I would accuse him of, and I want to speak and be able to make my point freely here, which is he would take a fight that he never planned to do, that he knew he wasn't going to go out there. He knew about an injury that he kept to himself. He knew he wasn't going to do it. And he would let that spot get taken. He would let the excitement, man, he was one of the biggest names. He would let the billboards get put up before he made the phone call that said, I can't do the fight. And this had happened a number of times. And it was like stepping on the rake and having the wood hit him. And I'd look around and go, did you not know that was going to happen? Did you not at least think that was going to happen? Being that that's happened to you so many times, do you at least think you put him on the card, but you don't put him in one of the feature spots, which automatically activates an arm of PR and marketing that's going to cost millions of dollars? Like, do everything you're doing, put up the same billboards, just don't put his face on it. Like, has this ever crossed anybody's mind? And I only share with you when you hear the question, did Connor ever think he was going to fight Chandler? Was he just having this fun? Did he not believe it? Like history sure would point in a direction that he did anything he could do to not get the fight. There was a time last year that was days which turned to weeks, which turned to months and plural, several, where there was no chance of this fight happening, right? There was an order. You could not get to second base until you got past first. Couldn't happen. Against the rules. And in that case, first was to enter what was known as an USADA testing pool, which is done on an app on one's phone, quickly, by dum-dums, fighters, right? 768 dum-dums fighters do this every single day. And so I only say that is, okay, we knew we weren't trying to get to second or third. We knew that. Because we all knew the rule, which is you have to get to first. There's no point in asking Connor, are you in training camp? How are you feeling? Is the leg back healed when you're in the gym? Like, there's no point in asking those questions because that would represent a second and or a third base. And we know we're not yet to first. What weight class? What's the venue? What's the card placement? None of those things could captivate a headline because you couldn't get the audience there. You couldn't get the audience to, okay, it's being 170 pounds. You couldn't get them there if they were armed with the fact that we hadn't yet got to first, which could be done. Press of your thumb on an app on your phone. So when that finally gets cleared up, when all of that gets cleared up, it's now a matter of when. And I thought Connor showed a real sincerity in his desire to do this. When he went out and he started making the announcements, when Connor announced it's going to be me and Michael, when Connor announced it's going to be International Fight Week, when Connor announced the venue, when Connor announced the date of June 29th, none of that was real in terms of those phone calls had never taken place. Those agreements were not in place. Those contracts not only were not signed, they hadn't even been written yet. But Connor wanted it so bad, and he was so sincere that he knew if he went out and told the public this, it would be more than they would want to unwind. And I think that speaks to a sincerity, right? I think that speaks to a real, hey, Connor's the real deal. Hey, this guy really loves this. He really cares about it. He didn't go out and pull a spoof for the movie. He didn't go pull a spoof for the club that's paying him to be there. He didn't pull a spoof on his own whiskey brand. He pulled a spoof to get himself a fight, and he pulled a spoof knowing that if it was believed, it would come to fruition. It was a gamble, and he was right. But he deserves to be recognized as a competitor who wanted to compete for doing that. So when I'm asked the question, did Conor ever plan to fight Michael Chandler? And I give the example of my new friend and old nemesis. So I give the example of Vitor Belfort, who many times agreed to fight, where I would say, I would look at it. Vitor is my mother's favorite fighter. I would tell her, don't get excited. He's not going to do it. But coincidentally, the billboards all went out before the phone call came in. And I'm giving you guys that example because that is the opposite of what's happening here. Like when I hear the idea that, oh, Conor never planned to fight. When I hear that idea, like, okay, hard to deal with since you're dealing with a mindset, but you do have clues. And the other fighters who have done go up to the 11th hour because of the media, because of the press. There's a way to agree to a fight, skip a fight, and have your brand grow. But you got to get the billboards up. So for Conor to step in front of this thing prior to the press and cancel all future press, that's one of the keys here. And the reason we got to keep driving that nail is we don't have an answer to it. I have heard the media relentlessly a year ago tell us McGregor is going to fight Chandler. Relentlessly. It was headlines. They put it everywhere. And I never know if they're just trying to get clicks. Like I don't actually know. But I would challenge the media, because I'm not in the room, I would challenge them to ask the most basic of questions, such as, well, if they're going to fight, if all of these things you're promising are true, what weight class are they going to fight at? And it's a very, very simple but important question, because if you don't have it, you're not to the venue stage. You're not to the announcement stage. You're not to the on sale for ticket stage. You're not down to the countdown. If you don't have a weight class, it'd be the first thing that you do. And we couldn't get the media to do it, which is why we had to live in this vortex of hearing about Conor versus Chandler for so incredibly long. Because they didn't ask the most simple question. And when we are going down the road that it's going to be Conor and Chandler, which it is, I fully believe that. I don't see any way out here. Not to mention, I would put Conor in the category as the organization's most reliable guy. He wasn't more reliable than I was, in all fairness, but he's tied. I wasn't ahead of him. Grand total of zero opportunities passed up on. A grand total of no to any opponent at any weight class at any time has never been said this would be a first, and I just don't think that he's going to take it. Not to mention, he missed out on a lot of fun. A press conference is a wildly fun thing to do. You get all those emotions of a fight, but there's no chance that you leave bruised. You get that same crowd and that same reaction. And if we're going to go down the road that he's going to show up, which is the road I'm on, I'm telling you, he is. I'm telling you right here now that nothing has changed. I still need to be able to answer one simple question from other media sources, which is, why did he cancel media? Not that day. You could be stuck in traffic and miss a press conference that's scheduled for an exact time. You could. Why, when you cancel that, did you cancel all media leading up to the fight? And moreover, when we're being told this piece of information, but we don't have a back and forth with anybody, it's just speculative. Did he cancel all media? Is there a media member saying, I had an interview with him and I was called and it has been canceled? Has Conor said, I have contacted my partners in the media and I have canceled? Is that even an accurate piece of the story? And while we don't have that, I will maintain it is a simple and basic question, much like what weight class are they going to fight at? It is a simple question that should be the first one asked, but the MMA media has not asked it yet. Sarkarian versus Islam. You know, I feel as though Sarkarian does everything right. I mean, I can't put him in a category of like a Sean O'Malley or an Israel Adesanya, but you know what? It's of that same vein. If he continues to do what he's doing now, 1 year from now, he will be on the same page. It's going to be smaller print, but he'll be on that same page. Shakiran came out just today talking about Islam, talking about his performance, said he's slow. Called him boring for one, said that he's slow. Now, Shakiran had no strategy behind that, and he did not mean to do it. He is just trying to bring interest into his own fight. But he only used two words, right? And there could be a lot of strategy put into that. For example, if I was advising him, if he called me and said, I'm going to use two adjectives, Chael, what should they be? I would have included boring. You want to know why? Because there's people that are going to say they don't want that fight, and their answer for not wanting it is that it's going to be boring. Now, nobody has ever not tuned into a fight in the history of ever because they thought it was going to be boring, and nobody has bought it because they thought it would be exciting. I know that you believe that, and you've been told it a million times, and now it's subconscious, and it's even helped to brainwash yourself. It's never happened. But when people don't want somebody to get an opportunity, they will turn to that word. When the resume and the rankings and everything else points in that direction, but they just simply don't want it, they will turn to that word. So Shakiran using the word boring takes it away from them. They now won't use it. And if they don't use it, there's not a whole lot else you could say. By the way, Shakiran called Islam slow. I don't know how we got to that conclusion, but slow versus fast, it's just a comparison. Man, that guy is fast. Well, compared to what? Compared to you? Compared to your previous opponent? I mean, right, I'm just saying, compared to what? Like, the cheetah doesn't think he's fast. A thoroughbred doesn't think that person was fast. So what does it mean? And when I bring that to you, Shakiran is in a very interesting spot. And he is in a spot where somebody like me, and this is not me, this is not Shakiran, working with Daryl Christian, operates under the umbrella of the protection of Uncle Chael. I'm just trying to make a point that somebody in that spot would be very vulnerable to have that spot taken. Shakiran was offered Islam. The very fight that Dustin Poirier just did was offered to Shakiran. And generally, that remains a secret. Generally, that never gets to us, the guys that said no. This one was made public. And that's fine. Shakiran is saying, I need a little bit more time. And I was surprised by that comment. I was only surprised because it's not as though Armand is unwilling to take on somebody for 5 rounds. He's done it before. It's not as though he's unwilling to take on somebody with short notice. He's done it before. It's not as though he's unwilling, without preparation of 4 or 5 rounds, to take on Islam Makhachev. He's done it before. So I was a little bit surprised because I look at these current conditions, and that is Armand coming off a victory over Charles Oliveira, a victory at 300 where he was on weight the day before and peak performance on that specific night. I just look at that environment and situation, and I guess that would have to be much better than the situation he was in the first time he took on Islam and did really well. So I was surprised that he said no. Now, it's not a good idea, historically speaking, in the UFC, and this is a 99%. It is not a good idea to turn down fights. And that doesn't matter if that's undercard or that's world title. Like, the history of that happening, the turn down, that happening, isn't wonderful. And the reason Shakiran is in such an interesting spot is because, I mean, when you know a guy is great, right, you'll hear people debate it, because you can talk about records, and you can talk about achievements, and you can talk about dominance, and you can bring up finishes and card placement. You can bring up things that people see, but when somebody is great, it's something that you don't see, and it's something that doesn't get spoken of. And it's something that's very hard to categorize, which is an acknowledgement from everybody else. I can't beat him. When you have that, it's something very special. And There is not a 55-pounder out there who has called out Islam Makhachev, and I do mean not one. There is not a 55-pounder out there who has called out and challenged Armand Sakarian's claim to number one contendership. There is not a 55-pounder out there, whether they could get the fight or not, even inserted themselves. Like, do you want to be in the top conversation? Whether you get it or not, but do you want to be in that top conversation in the war room where, man, we're down to a couple of people, but your name's one of them. Do you want to be down to that? Because if you'd like to, I can make your dream come true right now. It's got to be at 155. So you got to be signed to the organization. You got to be within the weight class. But if you call out Islam right now, if you do that on Twitter, you now will be in the final conversation with Sarukian. I don't imagine you beat him. But I'm sharing with you, like, it's a broad stroke to say nobody, usually. This is literal. There's not a 55-pounder out there who has called out Islam, for one, but who has gone after Aram's spot, for two. And what a vulnerable position that is. By using the facts, by using the truth, by bringing up the fact you turned it down, it therefore defaults to me. It's just one of these things. And I don't think Islam himself, who doesn't overly want to do the fight, Islam just, he wants some new matchups. I think we all understand that. I think we all really get that. But Islam didn't do a good enough job of igniting a fight to push him up to 170, which is really the only way, aside from illness or injury, of course, right? Weird things happen, but it's really the only way to not fight Sakarian is to have a fight up at 170. Oh, by the way, when you're the champion, it's got to be a champion fight at 170. Oh, by the way, Leon's booked up and you've never called him out and he's never called you out. Like, there's no back and forth there, which brings you back to Sakarian. I just haven't quite seen a situation like this. I don't understand it. I like Sakarian as your number one ranked guy. I like him as Islam's biggest threat. I like that he has completed a contest, which is what we call a moral victory. But I also like that he stole and won moments. I like that he won rounds. I think it's very interesting. I think that 155 is the glamour division of the UFC. That's a term I stole from Laura Sanko. But isn't it true? We don't have a division as hard in all of sport, which includes this one. Like the UFC at a different time. What? No, right now, 155 pounds, that is the absolute hardest and deepest division we've got. And you just have such great and wonderful fighters. But they much like the scarecrow, they need to get on the path and go see the wizard because they have no courage. Guys, when I started podcasting, an online store was the furthest thing on my mind. But now, we're selling Bad Guy Inc. merchandise. That includes coffee. That includes t-shirts. Go get yourself a sticker if you would like. And you know what? It's very easy. And that's all because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you to sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's where you go to help your business grow. Whether you're auctioning off autographed apparel or selling custom accessories, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person point-of-sale system, whenever and wherever you're selling from, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers and the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort, thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I appreciate about Shopify is no matter how big you grow, you don't have to feel overwhelmed by the demand. Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level with ease. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/chale, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/chale right now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/chale. Summer is coming up, and that might mean that you're going to have a little more time on your hands. Why not use it to learn a new language? Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, is here to help you. Some of you may be traveling abroad this summer, and you might want to experience that country beyond just the touristy type spots. Your experience could be upgraded just by learning the native language. Now you can download the Rosetta Stone app to your phone or tablet and learn on the go while driving, riding on the subway, running on a treadmill, or even laying poolside with just a 10-minute lesson per day. Rosetta Stone's lessons are designed for long-term retention of language skills rather than short-term memorization. The focus of the program is preparing you for real, authentic conversations, not just knowing a couple of translations. It's like having your own personal trainer for language learning. Rosetta Stone has been used by millions of people for over 3 decades. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started for a limited time. My listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/ today. That's 50% off. Unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. That's a steal. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. As spring makes its way into summer, there will be more outdoor festivals and concerts happening all around us. And if you're in the market for some new attire, let Tecovas help you out. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. I've seen some youngsters out there pull off wearing a nice pair of Tecovas ostrich boots with shorts. I've worn mine to a UFC event with a full suit head to toe. There is no limit to how you can wear a pair of boots, and the best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you're going to be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Go on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. Tecovas also offers custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, TECOVAS.com. And don't go gently, y'all. Poirier's back. I mean, this is so interesting to me. And it warms my heart. It really does warm my heart. For all the reasons a person might get into fighting, but one of them is just simple respect amongst their peers. That's it. Maybe you got picked on. Maybe you got bullied, right? I mean, it's the same thing at school. Like, you don't have to go beat that bully up if he just respects you. If you do something, you get his respect. You guys don't have to fight in the first place. If he gets yours back, and now you can move on through life and be civil. I'm only sharing for you when you're fighting for things like that. Dustin Poirier is as legendary as they come. He is as Shogun-esque as they come. Justin Gaethje-ish as you can get. So Dustin says, man, I might be done. I don't know. But to explain what Dustin was saying to you, because he was speaking very openly. He wasn't speaking in code. He was speaking openly, and it was thoughts that he had already had. Would have known what he was going to say if he had a victory and what direction he was going to go, and would have known what he was going to say if he comes in second, what direction he was going to go. So this wasn't something where he was caught off guard. He's being very open with you. But with Dustin Poirier, many times, it's like poetry, and it's got to be interpreted. Right? Like, he is such a likable guy, and he sounds great. I'm not saying he's not a good speaker, but he's not the one most wonderful communicator. Sometimes he can use a bunch of words, and you look at it and go, okay, I don't know what he said. Like, just for example, if you were to back up prior to the fight, he talked about, I am not going to reclimb that mountain with a loss. Now, many of you heard, if I lose, I'm done. That is not remotely close to what he's saying. And when he says, I might be done, okay, but I want to take that statement where you were misunderstanding. You're misunderstanding, some of you, that he was announcing a retirement. I'm all in or I'm all out. One foot in, one foot out. That's not what happened. He's actually letting you know quite different. Feel free to match me up any way you want to do it. Before, I was on a path and a journey to the championship. And that limits some of my openness and willingness as I'm on a climb for a recipe of which is not guaranteed or specific, but that my coaches and I have laid out. Okay, fine. So when he tells you that he's not going to recline, he's letting you, the audience, know, find me anybody. And by the way, I'm now opening the door for you to find that opponent also at 170 pounds. That is what he meant when he said, I'm not going to reclimb the 155-pound. He's saying he's going to move a little bit. Or at least he's willing to move. So it was actually a message to you guys. Now, post-fight, you got to make sure you have this down. This is spot on what I'm telling you right now. Not kind of. I am 100% I speak Dustin Poirier. When he took that microphone, he told Joe Rogan, I don't know if this is my last one. Okay. Again, you heard Team Poirier, the beautiful and wonderful women and men in his life are going to sit down and they're going to come to a decision of what's going to be next. Not even close. Dustin Poirier said the words to Joe Rogan, I do not know if this is my last fight. When he said that, he is saying to Dana White and company in the war room, fellas, I know you don't generally give fights, particularly ones that pay as much as mine are going to cost you, to guys that are not champions or on their way to being champions. And I'm openly telling you, I am not going to pursue that again. I am here to do the fun stuff. You've let Nate Diaz do it. You've let Nick Diaz do it. You let CM Punk do it. You let James Toney do it. It's rare. There's not many people. You didn't let Ronda do it. You didn't let Anderson do it. You didn't let St. Pierre do it. Like, it's really rare. But I believe that I belong on that same island. I believe if you look around, there are enough fans. And if you remember back to 299 in Miami, and it was a sold-out house, of which it wasn't until you put me on the card. I believe I belong in that same category of star. So when he tells Joe Rogan, I don't know if this will be my last fight, he's not talking about a decision that he has to make. He said, I don't know. The UFC has champions and guys are on their way to being champions. I'm going to openly tell you, as one of the most honest guys you've ever dealt with, I'm not doing that. I don't fit into what you're talking about. It'd be no different than if Dustin came out and said, hey, Joe, from now on, I fight at 163.5 pounds or I don't fight at all. And Joe, I don't know if they're going to contest 163.5 pounds. But if they do, they can call me. And that's what his message was. And don't misunderstand that. Dustin is more open now to fighting than he ever was. He's more open to going down the rankings, taking on new guys, something bright and shiny over here, taking on some old veteran. By the way, I mentioned both Diaz boys, you know, come back. I mean, these are really great ideas. I think Colby Covington's got some massive legs to it. That's a rumor that I'm starting. But Dustin said he's going to fight Colby on site. I mean, right, not for nothing. The ball's already left center field on that one. Kamaru Usman called out, or in a degree, but spoke about Dustin Poirier. Spoke about, man, he'd bring the best out of me. He fights like a dog. I fight that same way. It's very interesting. that would welcome to a whole nother weight class. And not to mention, I don't know that Kamaru Usman, I don't know what he wants to do. He has not been very clear. In many ways, Kamaru Usman might be doing what Dustin's doing, which is, hey, I'm not going on championship runs anymore, but there's still some real big stuff for me over here. Volkanovski, in many ways, right? If this Topuria is as good as advertised, in many ways, Volkanovski is now a man without an island. That's where Max Holloway found himself 2 months ago. Nowhere to go. They didn't know what to do with him. They threw him in a fight that nobody asked for against Justin Gaethje for a belt that nobody was discussing. Turned out to be one of the greats ever, right? So Dustin Poirier is right. There is an island. There is an island. George Masvidal, regardless of my disdain, belongs on that island. Anybody with the nice name of Diaz, the Nick and Nate, belong on that island. Who else, guys? Connor, of course. I mean, that's literally where Connor is living, where the outcome of his last match doesn't matter. The contendership ranking or stakes for this match do not matter. I'm with Dustin Poirier. I'm with him 100%. I think it's, hey, what took you so long? I'm for Volkanovski sliding into that class. I'm for some of these dogs that have been there and done that, but they're not ready to go out to pasture yet. I'm completely for this. I've supported this for the longest time. Dustin did not flat out call for it, but he gave you guys the message, man. He told you everything that you needed to know. He's telling you, got two different weight classes. Compete with anybody as long as you're interested, as long as you want to see it, right? It's got to work for my contract. They got to pay me a bunch of money, so they need a high placement. I'm going to have to be a co-main. I'm going to have to be a main event. Probably going to be 5 rounds. Maybe it'll be 3. I'm open to it. That's what Dustin's saying. I am your guy. I'm your guy. But I do understand there's a few things that are going to have to come around to make this whole thing make sense. So you, audience, please get to work, get to the internet, and make your suggestion. And two guys already have. Volkanovski and Kamaru Usman. Dana White made a very interesting comment. He was doing an interview and he said, hey, I'm starting to work on the next BMF fight. And was it the post-fight presser, guys? It might have been. That would line up time. I read about it later. So I can't cite who asked him or even when this happened, but it just happened. It happened somewhere within the media of Islam versus Dustin. I think it was post, but the point is this. Because what do we like, guys? We like speculation, right? I could call Dana right now and get the answer. I don't want the answer. I want us to come over here and guess. I want to speculate. I want to go back and forth. I want Brendan to jump on this. I want Rogan to weigh in. I want to hear what Jesse has to say. Like, it's one of these things, but we have to look at what clues we've been given. So this is a very interesting statement. I'm starting to work on the next BMF fight. I had a awards banquet for my wrestling team, and every award was voted on. It was every award they gave out was voted on. And I remember Coach got up there and he was giving out the award and he said, well, this was an awful tough one. A lot of thought went into this. And then he gave the award out. And I thought, okay, he's either nervous in the moment. He's nervous in the moment. He wasn't a big speaker. Or it's a scam. Like, there would be nothing hard about it. There's 31 guys on the team and we voted. What was the hard part? Tallying 1 to 31? Like, what part was troubling and took time, right? And I remember that moment. It's like, no, he didn't misspeak. He didn't misspeak at all. They didn't vote on it. We did the song and dance, and the coaches went up there and wrote the names down and took it to the award show. And I only tell you that because I look at these things a little bit more skeptical than some. And like the statement of, I am working on the next BMF, in what regard? Now, when you say I'm working on, you mean I'm getting an opponent for Max. That's what you mean, right? But no, I don't think that is what he meant. And again, it's much like my coach, right? Maybe misspoke in the moment. How much do you want to really hold to a guy? Post-fight press conference, a million different things. Got to go to Ireland. It's 3 a.m. where Dana was like, I mean, how much are we going to hold him to this sentence? But for right now, I'm going to hold him to the sentence because it's all I got. He said, I'm working on it or I'm getting ready to work on it. Well, if that doesn't mean I'm looking on the next opponent for Max, if it doesn't mean that, then that means that belt isn't going to have a lineage and it's going somewhere else. And that belt doesn't have to have a lineage, by the way. Justin Gaethje was the first to ever get to defend it. Now, that's largely because George Masvidal didn't understand contractually why he wasn't ever allowed to defend it. But Max doesn't know anything more about his contract than Masvidal. Max will do the same thing as Masvidal. Trust me when I tell you that. So there doesn't have to be a lineage with it. And the guy isn't going to speak up. So, is that what that means? Was that a one-night trophy? And that went to Max. I'm great with that. And you know what, guys? I might even like it more. If that means we get more BMF title fights, then I will like it more. There was something they used to do called the Super Fight. First off, physically and visually, it is the coolest belt that's ever been made in mixed martial arts history. It is the absolute coolest actual belt, but it was a trophy for the night. Like, if you won the Super Fight, they call you Super Fight Champion or something, but they just bring two new guys in to fight, and then whoever won that, they would win the Super Fight. It was very clearly a trophy for the night. And if that was you again, you're still the one, Super One, you're going to take on somebody else, the verbiage might make it sound as though you're defending that belt, but it was actually a trophy for that night. There's nothing that says the BMF can't be that. Nothing whatsoever. So, is that what's happening? Or, I'm looking for the next BMF fight, is that simply mean I'm trying to find out who the next opponent for Max is? Because if that's what it means, what about Topuria? Whatever do you mean you're looking for an opponent for Max? You don't have an opponent for Max? Isn't Topuria? It isn't Topuria and the Sphere on Mexican Independence Day? It certainly doesn't have to be, but is it not? Something's got to go on there because you got Shevchenko and Grasso on the card. Like something has to happen to, right? They're not closing the night out. But you're thinking that perhaps it won't be Topuria versus Max. So, is it then possible, not only that Max fights, but the BMF isn't up, that somebody else fights for it? Oh, by the way, is it then possible that Topuria is going to fight Max and Topuria is not going to have an opportunity to win the belt that Max has, which is the BMF? How are you working on it? What do you mean I'm working on it? What do you mean I'm working on it? I'm working on it means I'm trying to find out who's next for Max. Yes? I thought it was Topuria. Is it Topuria next for Max? No. Something's going on. Max is about to not be the BMF champion. That's what's going on. This happened once before, by the way. Colby Covington was the interim champion. Never got hurt, never got sick, never pulled out, never did it. Woke up one day and was no longer the interim champion. Like, that's not a riddle. That happened. Colby Covington beat the BMF champion. Didn't become the BMF champion. Covington was the number one contender. He could not get a title fight. I mean, there's just some things that sometimes happen in the sport. You gotta know a little bit more and be able to look, well, that actually made perfect sense, and here's the reasons why. But no, there wasn't misspeaking. And the BMF belt was singled out. The tone and the context for what that question was answered and the influx within the words made it very clear that belt was going to be different. Now, if you wanted to take Max with it, you could. But it was made very clear that it is going to be different. And the reason I'm telling you that, it's not different if it's opposite Topuria. It's not different then. So either Max is not fighting Topuria, either that is not done, or the lineage of the BMF belt is not going to take place, of which I'm fine with as long as we do it consistent. I love the Super Fight. I wish they'd bring the Super Fight back. I think there's massive opportunity here. So I'm not hating on it either way, but I do find it kind of amazing that my fellow people in MMA heard these words, they heard them all, and didn't know what they meant. I mean, there is no better place to hide than in plain sight. And if we are, in fact, working on and trying to figure out the next BMF title fight, at a minimum, we can derive Max and Topuria isn't happening. And you know what? I'm very light on that idea. I do not think that that's the accurate one. I think it's option B, which is the bell isn't going to have a lineage. Tyson and Paul. A little bit confusing, guys. Like, you're asking me, hey, chill, what's going on there? And by the way, I was out at ESPN over the weekend. I asked a number of people. Like, there's nowhere in sport on the face of the planet you can get more and better information than having lunch at the cafeteria at ESPN. Like, right, it wouldn't be possible. And, well, I couldn't get anywhere. And I couldn't get anywhere because I had a little bit to offer and they had a little bit to offer. And then I hadn't heard theirs and I wasn't sure that that had been confirmed. And they're looking at mine pretty skeptical. We're going around the table. It's been a pretty tough spot. Like, getting accurate information in the world of boxing has been a pretty tough spot. Ryan Garcia has failed a drug test. That's not disputed by Ryan Garcia. But he has not been suspended anywhere. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. He could go and get a fight right now. So, all right, fine. I'm just speaking to boxing being a little, it's a little bit confusing. It's a little bit hard. You see the effectiveness and the importance of having an organization where there's a boss, correct? So, I warned everybody involved to play and handle the Mike Tyson thing correctly because the visuals were bad. And when you're dealing in a world of optics, it's very relevant. And Tyson versus Paul would likely be on July 20th. It would likely be on had they not put out the fake press release in the first place. When they put out this watered down, dumb press release, they were in trouble. And we now are told that the fight has been postponed. Now, postponed is one of those words. Like, there is legal mechanisms that go into place when you're dealing with ticketing. If something is canceled, postponed, or course card subject to change. Which does not mean the same thing in each jurisdiction, just so you understand. Like, there is very good and important reason that that is officially postponed. And if it were to be called something else, it would go into a different category. But you know, you want to know something? Paul called out KSI for the fight. Now, KSI got back to him and said, no, I'm not doing the fight. But Paul called out KSI. In fact, Paul had two steps. Said, hey, if it's going to be Paul and Tyson down the road, I think they listed something. It was something silly, man. It's like October. It's long enough that you now can't hide the medical emergency, right? They should not have rescheduled this fight. If you can't reschedule it for a month, you should not have rescheduled it. That was a massive blunder. But Paul said, I'll still fight him in September, October, whatever, November, whatever the date was. I'll still do, but let's do KSI on the date that's already reserved in Texas of July 20th, and let's kick this thing off on Netflix. And I bring that because if anybody would have knowledge and information, it would be Paul. And the fact that Paul was still trying with sincerity to preserve the card. I mean, if that card was up in smoke, just understand, if that card's up in smoke, it doesn't exist. The venue has been returned. It is off. KSI would have accepted the fight instantly. Instantly, he would have accepted it. And then come around and go, wait a minute, you called me out? You don't even have a venue, you idiot? Oh, you want me to come over here? That wasn't the deal. You invited me to Jerry Field. I said, yes, you invited me to fight on Netflix. You're telling me this deal's off. I'm just sharing with you, for whatever smoke and mirrors that would have been, KSI is a smart enough worker that he would have instantly accepted it. But he didn't. He turned it down. Okay, great. Well, if you're turning it down, that means that card still exists. So where are we at with that? Where are we at? Darren Till was training for that fight. Says he's still training. Why? I'm just asking the question, why? Have you not been told that this fight is off? Have you not been told that it's postponed? Like, if the main event is postponed and the event is postponed, that you go with it, right? Like, postponed has a definition. It is not just a word. So it's a little bit confusing. Like, I'm not barking at it. I'm not upset about it. It is aggravating to me that I don't know. I live in this space. I have personal relationships with a number of people on that card. And I don't know. I work in sport. I speak to people in sport. And I don't know. And I think that it is a big deal. And if Jake's out there working and he's trying to revive the card and he's gonna honor and keep this deal with Tyson, but he wants something in between, I would like Jake to get credit for that, quite frankly. I would. Jake is a legitimate competitor and he's a legitimate tough guy. And he legitimately likes to box. And you do not see guys like that very often. Even the big mouth guys that run their mouth about how much they want to box. Well, it's Olympic year. You can go box right now. You can box on Saturday. I mean, you could get something really meaningful for it. You could win a national title. You could go for the Golden Gloves. You could represent and go out to the Pan American Games. You could make the Olympic team. Like, you can show the world how good you are at it. And believe me, the guys that are doing that and are trying to get to Paris in a few months, they love the sport. So if you're actually one of those guys, you could show it. And Jake does the next best thing. Jake's willing to fight anybody at any size. He's calling in all sorts of different guys. He called for KSI. I did not hear Jake respond to Ryan Garcia. And I do want to hear Jake's response. I do not want him willing to fight Tyson, but unwilling to fight Ryan Garcia. Now, it can be smoke and mirrors. It can just be for the show. He can get out of that and get that jammed up, and he's in red tape with Vada, and I'm not bothering to do business with this guy. He didn't even make weight for his last fight. Like, there's a way to go, but there has to be a response. It cannot be, I'm scared of Ryan Garcia, I'm not scared of Mike Tyson. I'm a good storyteller. That one, I'd have a hard time reconciling. Guys, I have had it with you all. That's it for today's episode. I got a bag packed. I got a plane to catch. I am headed to Sao Paulo to do this one more time. Updates to come. Until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.